श्री राधा माधव जी की जय, श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम जी की जय, श्री प्रभुपाद की जय, श्री गुरुदेव की जय। घोर ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
नमो
Maya. We read from chapter 11, text 7 of Bhagavad Gita as it is. Everyone has copies? Prabhu's copies? Ihaikastam jagat krishnam Pashyadya sacharacharam Mama dehe gurakesha Yachanyad drashtumichasi Ihaikastam jagat krishnam Pashyadya sacharacharam Mama dehe gurakesha Yachanyad drashtumichasi Ihaikastam jagat krishnam Pashyadya sacharacharam Mama dehe gurakesha Yachanyad drashtumichasi Prabhuji
Thank you.
Please repeat the synonyms. Iha, in this, ekastam, in one place, jagat, the universe, krishnam, completely, pashya, see, adhya, immediately, sa, with, chara, moving, acharam, and not moving, mama, my, dehe, in this body, Gurakesha, O Arjuna, yet, that which, sha, also, anyat, other, drashtum, to see, ichasi, you wish. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki. O Arjuna, whatever you wish to see, behold at once in this body of mine. This universal form can show you whatever you now desire to see and whatever you may want to see in the future. Everything, moving and non-moving, is here completely in one place. Please repeat. O Arjuna, whatever you wish to see, behold at once, in this body of mine, this universal form can show you whatever you now desire to see and whatever you may want to see in the future. Everything, moving and non-moving, is here completely in one place. Purport. No one can see the entire universe while sitting in one place. Even the most advanced scientists cannot see what is going on in other parts of the universe. But a devotee like Arjuna can see everything that exists in any part of the universe. Krishna gives him the power to see anything he wants to see, past, present and future. Thus, by the mercy of Krishna, Arjuna is able to see everything. We can repeat, it's a very nice purport, but very important. No one can see the entire universe while sitting in one place. Even the most advanced scientists cannot see what is going on in other parts of the universe. But a devotee like Arjuna can see everything that exists in any part of the universe. Krishna gives him the power to see anything he wants to see, past, present and future. Thus, by the mercy of Krishna, Arjuna is able to see everything. So before we try and say something on this very wonderful verse, we seek the blessings of our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, all Vaishnava Acharyas and all Vaishnavas assembled here, so that we will not say anything wrong or offensive in the course of this discussion. Om Ajnana Vinirajasya Jnana Nirajanaya Chakshurum Nirajam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovisham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Chamayam Jagati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Shri Guru Vaishnava Shri Rupa Sri Rama, 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 Sri Rama born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisance to Santati. Venerable Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within this material world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet. Jai Sri Rupa Goswami Prabhupada ki. This is a very nice verse, Prabhu said, Mataji, because in this verse we find that Krishna is actually giving Arjuna a very special benediction. Krishna, as you know, just before this, Arjuna desired very much in his earlier prayers to see the Lord, and particularly in his glorious cosmic manifestation form. So he humbly requested the Lord's permission so that he would be able to see this form. If you notice the tone of Krishna before this, it is a very submissive and very humble tone. Arjuna did not demand to see the cosmic manifestation of Krishna, but he humbly requested whether he could see this wonderful manifestation. This is an important point for us to remember. Sometimes we believe that it is our right to demand something from Krishna because we are devotees. But while it is our birthright to take up devotional service, it is not our birthright to demand anything from Krishna. Just like a loving father knows when to give us something, Krishna also knows when to give us what. That point we should have full faith. If we remember this point, then in whatever difficulties we may have, I can put it here, in whatever difficulties we may have, we will not be perplexed. We will understand that Krishna is actually so kind that he is giving us whatever according to when he wants. The problem is we always think that we know best. We think that it is at this time that Krishna must give me something. Why? Because I know myself better than Krishna knows me. This is our normal thinking. But as devotees, we should know that what we think must always be subordinate to what Krishna wants. After all, we preach day in, day out to ourselves that we are not this body, we are spirit, soul, we are servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. But when it comes to the practical application as to why we are put in difficulty or adversity, then we question why Krishna has put me in this difficulty, or why he has not given me something at this point in time. Why is it that we are not expanding? Why is it that we are not doing this, doing that? These questions are best answered by the Lord through his actions. All we can do, Prabhu said, Mataji, is to humbly submit before him. This is the mood of Arjuna. And this is the reason why Arjuna became so successful. Arjuna was so successful in his material discharge of his duties as Kshatriya. At the same time, he was Paka, first class devotee. Why? Because at no point during his life did he demand from Krishna that you must give me something now and that I deserve it now because I have served you all my life. Never. If we take this example from the pages of Bhagavatam and become very humble before the Lord, then our devotional service will definitely increase. The problem is when we decide that we know what is better for us and when it is better for us. When that happens, we are the ones in difficulty. This we should remember. The second point you must remember here is that Krishna reciprocated according to the desire of Arjuna. You see here, Arjuna had already asked that Krishna, please let me see your wonderful form. And what is Krishna doing now? Krishna immediately said that immediately, without hesitation, Krishna then decided that he will show Arjuna this wonderful form. And he did this in the most unique way, Prabhu said, Mataji, because he allowed Arjuna to see his entire cosmic form from Ekastam, from one place.
And Prabhupada makes special mention of this because there is no scientist in the world or no personality in this world who can see the entire creation from one place. Nobody. You know, even the most wide-lensed camera in the world, it cannot capture a creation. Can't even capture this all. What to speak of creation? You put two plumb people and white lens becomes very difficult to put both of them in. So what to speak of white lens to see the whole universe? It is very difficult. It is impossible. But Krishna gave him special eyes that whatever you wish to see, behold at once where? In this body of mine. Krishna gave them, now you want to see this cosmic manifestation? Come, walk with me. You see behind this pillar, just on the other side, there is the cosmic manifestation. Krishna did not do that. He said, you want to see the cosmic manifestation? Behold, this body of mine. Which makes us understand that this entire cosmic manifestation is non-different from Krishna. It is a part of Krishna. It is the cosmic form. It is non-different from Krishna. It is not the highest form that devotees aim for. We have heard this many times from devotees. But nevertheless, it is a form that Krishna seeks to manifest out of his own desire. No one can force Krishna to manifest his cosmic form. This point we should remember. And having understood that, Krishna lovingly reciprocated with his devotee. Devotee asked humbly and submissively, and Krishna reciprocated according to the result of the devotee's submission. And the result of that submission is chapter 11, text 7. This is the context in which we must see this particular verse. It's very important. Having understood that, there are basically two points in this verse that we should take home with us. Very important, two points. The first point begins from the point that whatever we want to see is actually found in the Lord's creation. Isn't it true that here Krishna basically was telling Arjuna, you want to see anything moving, unmoving, inanimate, animate, whatever you want to see now, whether it is in the present, in the past, or even in the future, whatever you want to see, please know one thing, that it is all resting in me. It is all resting in me. One does not have to make any separate endeavor outside of Krishna to be able to realize Krishna. And very importantly, there is nothing beyond Krishna for us to search after. This is an important point that devotees must keep remembering if we want to improve our devotional service. I think there is that verse, isn't it, Rojis? Chapter 7, text 7. Mataha parataram na anyat. Isn't it? Mataha parataram na anyat. Apart from me, beyond me, there is nothing superior. Kinchit asti dananjaya. Dananjaya. What is the meaning of dananjaya? Krishna as dananjaya is known as conqueror of wealth. That is the meaning of Arjuna. Arjuna is known as conqueror of wealth in that verse. So Krishna addresses Arjuna in chapter 7, text 7 as mataha parataram namya. You please know one thing, Arjuna, that there is no truth superior to me. This is exactly the point of this verse. That there is nothing beyond Krishna. Even in this material world, frankly speaking, there is nothing beyond Krishna. There is nothing without Krishna. If the devotee can start to see the hand of Krishna in everything that we are doing, then Prabhupada very often told us, the true aim of Krishna consciousness becomes realized. Because then we will utilize and harness this material energy of this cosmic manifestation for the spiritual service of the Lord. When that happens, the material energy cannot touch us. It may afflict us in the form of bodily disease, but then birth, death, old age and disease is bound to come when we are born in this material world. Many times we forget, nature of water is to flow. Nature of fire is to burn. The nature of material world is to give you suffering. This we must accept. Dukhalayam asashvatam. If you cannot accept this premise to begin with, you will miss Krishna consciousness by a mile. By a nautical mile, I may say so. Very, very wide you will miss it. Because if you come to Krishna consciousness thinking that birth, death, old age and disease will be wiped out the moment I take up Krishna consciousness, you are right and not right. You are right because by taking up Krishna consciousness very seriously, meet Krishna once, you will not come back to this world. Then the four stations of life is finished. But if you take it up gradually, as most of us would, then we must be prepared to suffer the adversities in the material world. But the difference is, because we are with Krishna and His pure devotees, our consciousness is acceptable and amenable to the difficulties. We accept them as the great devotees do. How? As the hand of Krishna in everything. That somehow or another Krishna is teaching us to detach ourselves from the difficulties of the material world and attach ourselves to the service related to Krishna. This is the point we should understand. So Krishna says very nicely, Mataha Parataram Na Anya Kinchit Asti Dhananjaya. And there is a reason why Krishna is calling Arjuna by Dhananjaya. Dhananjaya is conqueror of wealth. The highest wealth that he has is our service to the Lord. And a man is truly wealthy and truly opulent by Bhagavatam standard if he realizes and accepts in his life that apart from Krishna, there is no one else. That Krishna, you are all in all for me. The last verse of Sisashtakam is very apt for all of us. Mahaprabhu has made it very clear there that I will accept no one except Krishna as my Lord. And even though he may embrace me roughly or he may suffer me to be broken hearted, that does not matter. Because at the end of the day, to whom are we going to turn to, even if we enter difficulties? Except for Krishna, whom do you have? You know, this is the nature of Krishna. You may shout and rant and rage and complain and say, Krishna, you are like this, you are like that. At the end of the day, Prabhu's Mataji, who else are you going to go to after the dust has settled? Who to turn to? Who to complain to? Who to shout? You have to go back to Krishna only. Because He has created you. If we have this attitude that Krishna is all in all for us, then the mercy of the Lord as it fell on Arjuna will manifest. So that is why Krishna states here at the very beginning that see all this and see it all in me. And that you don't need to go anywhere else is the implication that we must remember. And once we know Kinchit Asti Dhananjaya, there is no other wealth to be conquered except for this wonderful wealth of Krishna consciousness, then Krishna says, Mayi Sarvam Idam Protam. You please know that everything is resting on me. It is resting upon me, not under me, not below me, but upon me. The base of all, the root of everything is Krishna. And this is just like Sutre Mani Ganaiva. Just like pearls, you know, are strung on a thread and cannot exist together if they are not strung on a thread. In the same way, until and unless we accept Krishna as all in our lives, we are always going to be in the material difficulty. We may be material difficulties if we accept Krishna all in all. After all, Pandavas suffered like anything. But they never forgot Krishna in the most difficult of times, in the best of times. And they loved Him unconditionally. Is it a difficult thing for us to do? On our own, it is impossible. But through the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the mercy of Krishna, everything is possible. That last line of this purport, what does the last line tell us in the purport? Krishna, Arjuna could see everything by the mercy of Krishna. Isn't that so? Arjuna could see everything by the mercy of Krishna. That is the key point in this verse and in this purport. If we can meditate on this point, Prabhu and Mataji's, this verse is complete, as all verses in Bhagavad Gita are complete. So this point we should remember. Now, having understood that everything does not move except by Krishna's sanction, then we should also remember how to take the best out of this world so that we are always under the mercy of the Lord. That we can find in Chatushloka Srimad Bhagavatam. In 2nd Canto, 9th chapter, I think it is 34th verse, Krishna says very nicely, Ritesam yat pratyeta, na pratyeta chatmani. This verse we should remember. What is Krishna telling us here? He says, O Brahmaji, you please remember one thing. Whatever that appears to be valuable in this world, Prabhu said, Mataji, whatever that appears to be valuable in this world, if it has no relation to Krishna, then it is as good as my illusory energy. it has no value. In fact, that thing which is not connected to Krishna, yatha vaso yatha tamaha, it will drag us further and deeper into the material consciousness and into forgetfulness of Krishna. This is very important. Who are we working for? Daily. We should be working for Krishna. If we perform any activity, we should ask ourselves this question. How is this beneficial in service of the Lord and His devotees? If that service is useful for the Lord and devotees, then that service has value for Krishna. This is how Bhagavatam becomes applicable to us in our daily lives. It is not in the air, some nice paraphrasing of philosophy. It has to be on the ground. So if we really want to be able to see the cosmic manifestation as it should be, that is, we should become subordinate to Krishna's energy, then whatever that you have now, please use it in Krishna's service. If you have intelligence, then offer your intelligence to Krishna. Come forward and do something that requires intelligence and then offer it to Krishna. If you are good to speak, if you are a good orator, then learn and learn to preach about Krishna. If you can cook very nicely, then start offering everything and offering your services to the temple so that we put you on prasadam roster and you can do nice prasadam. If you believe that you are very good to distribute the flyers about Krishna consciousness, come forward and see Sruta Prabhu and you can distribute flyers during Janmashtami and other festivals. If you feel that you are musically inclined and you want to offer service to Krishna, come and offer that service for Kirtan. But remember one thing. As we offer this service, we should remember in what mood this service should be offered. This is the difference between Arjuna and the struggling devotees. Arjuna offered all his prowess to Krishna, but never did he think that he was the possessor of this prowess. Never did he think that it is my talent that is being used for Krishna. He never thought that way. Because if you remember this one episode of Krishna, it is very wonderful. The episode of the Pandavas retiring finally in the 15th chapter of the first canto. That chapter, Prabhu said, Mataji, if you have time, you should read that chapter. Because it is a very beautiful chapter. In that chapter, we can understand the last line of this purport. We can understand the meaning of the translation very nicely. The chapter is very simple. Arjuna had just been greeted by Yudhishthira Maharaj. And Yudhishthira Maharaj had seen omens in the world that looked so bad that he knew something bad must have happened. He suspected in his heart that Lord Krishna had wound up his pastimes and he had decided to leave. But when Arjuna came back after so many months away from Dwarka and he took so long to come back, Yudhishthira Maharaj became very anxious. When Arjuna came and presented himself before him, immediately Yudhishthira Maharaj asked him this question. Tell me now, why are you looking so morose and down? And he asked him a list of questions, you know. Have you been accosted by a woman of impeachable character? Have you seen some terrible things? Has someone offended you? You know, have you done something which is sinful? What is it that has made you feel this way? What is the problem? And in that way, Arjuna, when asked all these questions, he became very quiet. And Bhagavatam describes to us that as he became silent, his voice began to quiver as he began to speak. Because there was so much of loving sentiment for the Lord that was in his heart. And then he began to speak to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And he told Yudhishthira Maharaj that Lord Krishna is no more. Our most blessed Lord has decided to wind up his pastimes in this world and he has left. He is no more here. And when he started thinking of Krishna that way, he did not think of Krishna in a sentimental fashion. Oh, Krishna has left us, it is very painful. He began to compose choice poetry in glorification of the Lord and the Lord's mercy. The verses start from 1st canto, 15th chapter, 7th verse, thereabouts. It is too long to go through all the verses in Sanskrit and English. But we can understand the point through the translation. And you will see the thread running through at how to understand to be such a great devotee as Arjuna. In this first verse, in 115.7, Arjuna tells Yudhishthira Maharaj that, you know Yudhishthira Maharaj, it was only by his merciful strength the word that he uses there is his, capital H, Krishna, merciful strength. It was by his merciful strength that I, Arjuna, was able to conquer all the lusty princes who wanted to marry Draupadi Mata in the assembly. It was only by the merciful strength of Krishna that Krishna gave me the strength to shoot this arrow so perfectly that it pierced the eye of the fish and I could win the hand of Draupadi Mata. So Arjuna does not say to Krishna that I actually want this lady to be my wife through my own charm, through my own strength. He says it was by Krishna's merciful strength. This is mood of devotee. Then he goes on to reflect and then he says, because Krishna was near me. He says, because he was near me. When you go back, underline all this and you will see a progression. First he says, it was only by his merciful strength. Then he goes on to say, because Krishna was near me. That's all. He was just near me. What happened? Because he was near me, it was possible for me to conquer with great dexterity, that means with great skill, the powerful king of heaven, Indra himself, along with his associates. And by doing so, I could actually enable Agni, the fire god, to devastate the Kandava forest. This was a pastime where Arjuna managed to fight off this Indra Dev, and he managed to burn off this Kandava forest. But Arjuna also said that he didn't do it himself. He said that because Krishna was near me, I was able to destroy this forest. I was able to stop Indra Dev. And because Krishna was near me, only by his grace, he goes on to use the word, by his grace, the demon Maya, who was caught in that fire, was freed from the fire. And later this demon Maya was tasked to build a beautiful palace where the Pandavas held their Rajasuya sacrifice and assembly. And that was the palace in which Yudhishthira Maharaj was glorified. So Arjuna is telling Yudhishthira, see how kind Krishna is. Krishna saved Maya so that Maya could build this, so that you could be glorified. Not Krishna could be glorified, but because Yudhishthira could be glorified. And you know what? People think that I was the one who was responsible for fighting Indra Dev, but actually it wasn't me. It was because Krishna was near me. See the mood of the devotee. He was near me. How nice this is. So by his merciful strength, because he was near me, and by his grace. These are words we have to learn. Then in the next verse, Arjuna then tells Yudhishthira Maharaj, your brother killed Jarasandha only because of the mercy of Krishna. Jarasandha and Bhima were matched, right? They were in a deadlock. They were so powerful, they fought each other day after day, both couldn't defeat each other. Then one day, Krishna stood up, he took a leaf, and in front, right in front of Bhima, as if nothing was happening, he just tore the leaf into half. And by doing so, he gave Bhima the intelligence, this is how I should kill Jarasandha. Because Krishna knows everyone, past, present, future, as stated in the verse. He knew the past and the beginnings of Jarasandha. He knew Jarasandha was actually split into two. And that after birth, he was put together by the demon Jara. And then he was known as Jarasandha, Jarasandha. That was how he came to be known. So Krishna only knew that, Bhima could not know that, because Krishna is Trikalatya. He knows past, present, future. So because he could know everything, he gave his devotee the divine instruction to finally vanquish this demon. So by faring like that, Bhima got intelligence, and by his grace, Bhima killed Jarasandha. Again, Arjuna is saying, it was not Bhima who killed Jarasandha, it was Krishna who executed it. Then he goes on to the next point. This is very nice. He said, it is Krishna who loosened the hairs of all the wives of the Kauravas, because Draupadi's hair was loosened and pulled illicitly by the immoral Kauravas, Dushasan, and by the instructions of Duryodhana. And because Draupadi Mata was a first class devotee of the Lord, when he saw the insult of pulling her hair, which should never be pulled by anyone, no one should touch another woman except one's husband, for that insult, Krishna remembered, and he, by his grace, and by his direction, he caused the Kauravas to be punished for their actions. Because when they were decimated in the battle of Kurukshetra, all their wives who became widows, they were forced to loosen their hairs and let all their flowers down, let all their braids down, let all their ornaments down, because they had become widows. That, Arjuna said, was not the victory of the Pandavas, not the strength of the Pandavas, but it was because of his will that this had to happen. Again, Arjuna says, who is really the cause of all these wondrous acts? Then, at the next point, Arjuna then goes on to say, it was he who was so merciful that simply by accepting the remnants of food which we have eaten, that the Pandavas have eaten. Normally it's the other way around, isn't it, Prabhu's Mataji? We take remnants of the Lord and it becomes prasadam. But here Arjuna says, simply by him taking remnants of our food, he saved us from Durvasa Muni and his 1000 disciples. You remember the story of Akshay Patra? You remember, right? That Durvasa Muni was told by Duryodhana to go to the forest and try and trap the Pandavas into difficulty. How? He was to go there and ask them for prasadam at the appointed time when he knew all prasadam had been served. First of all, Draupadi Mata was one person, five people were in the hermitage. How many people did they expect for prasadam distribution every day? Not more than 10 maybe. When Durvasa Muni came with hundreds and hundreds of his disciples and said, we want to eat something after taking a bath, Yudhishthira Maharaj, being dharma personified, could not refuse. After all, they were their guests. So he turned to Draupadi Mata and said, prasadam not sir, where is prasadam? Please prepare prasadam. Draupadi Mata said, how can you ask me last minute to prepare prasadam like that? I don't have, there's no bhoga here in the first place. And at that point in time, Krishna came. The Pandavas, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Draupadi Mata, they had no one to turn to. So Draupadi began praying to Krishna, and she prayed very hard and said, Krishna, only you can help us here, because you're all in all for us. When we are faced with such a situation, immediately what is our thinking? What is the material solution to this problem? Go get a rice cooker, go get a rice, go get some wine, go to Mustafa, quickly cook. That is all very good. But before that, do we pray to Krishna? 90% of the time, after everything is cooked, thank God. The thank God comes after everything is done with our so-called ability. This is not the way. When Arjuna was being chased by Ashwatthama in 7th chapter of 1st canto with Brahmastra, Arjuna could easily have turned around and counteracted Ashwatthama with his Brahmastra. But what did he do? He saw the Brahmastra coming. He knew very well how powerful he was. He bowed down to Krishna, who was his charioteer, and he said, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho, Bhakta Nama Bhayankaraha. This is what he said. He said, Krishna, you are Mahabaho. You are the most powerful. If not for your mercy to the devotees, we cannot do anything. We cannot do anything. Only you, Samsritehe, only you can take us out of these difficult times. And after praying that, then he took the Brahmastra and shot. This is why Arjuna is given mercy whenever he submissively turned to Krishna. This is why he was given this special benediction and more benedictions of being able to serve the Lord so intimately. This is a difference, small difference from those advantages, but it makes so much difference in our devotional service. When we have a problem, Krishna is our first. He is all in all. Our Guru, Srila Prabhupada, Dukkhaushadam Tadapi Dukkha Matadviyayam. This is what Prahlad Maharaj advises. Material solutions in this material world are more problematic than the material problems themselves. So don't turn to the material solutions first. Turn to the increase of the fabric of our devotional service. Tattenukambam sushamikshamano bunjanevadmakritam nipakam kritvavapurvir vidadan namaste jivetayo mukti padaselayapham. In 10th canto, Brahmaji's prayers to Krishna is very relevant. The devotees, the Krishna prays, Brahmaji prays, Krishna, you are so merciful. The devotee who is always worshipping you, even though he is in difficulty, even though he is in so much of difficulty, he accepts all his difficulties as my misdeeds. the reactions of my misdeeds. It's my bad karma. Nobody's fault. Not Krishna's fault I'm suffering. I'm suffering for my past karmas. We cannot say that, oh, the moment I've taken up Krishna consciousness, that's it. My karma thrown to Krishna. The moment we take initiation, finish. My karma flow to Guru. Whatever happens, let him just suffer. I'm now free. Krishna will punish us for that. And then there will be more karmas in our head. So this point we should not forget. That whatever happens, the devotee accepts the difficulties as his lot. Instead of being morose in devotional service, Arjuna picked up the devotional service. His remembrance of Krishna increased and increased and increased. Every time he remembered Krishna in difficulties. Draupadi Mata was remembering Krishna at that point of time when there was no prasadam. And at that point of time Krishna walked in. And the moment he walked in he said, Mata, I am hungry. Can I have some prasadam? Draupadi Mata thought, Krishna, already we have hundreds of guests asking for prasadam and I am looking around. Now you come in and ask me for prasadam. Where am I going to go for prasadam? I don't have anything. Krishna said, you must have something in some pot. Give me your pot. Give me your pot. Ah, I see one morsel, one remnant of yours. I'll take it. So before Draupadi Mata could even do anything about it, Krishna just put it in his mouth. And the moment he put it in his mouth, he said, you know what? I'm very satisfied. This is enough, my prasadam. And the moment the Lord becomes satisfied, then the whole universe becomes specified and satisfied. Isn't it? Jagat Pravitam, Pragadita Tatichit. That the power of Krishna's names and his activities are so powerful they sanctify the entire universe. 1.5.10 of Srimad Bhagavatam. So now that we know this, immediately Dhruvasamuni and all his other disciples were coming out of the bath and then they just started packing their stomachs. And Dhruvasamuni looked at his disciples and said, I don't know about you all, but frankly now I just lost all my appetite. Let's just go back. Because it's very embarrassing to go there. They would have prepared so much prasadam, we can't eat, and then you know we won't know what to do. So they left, not knowing that at that point of time, no prasadam was ready for them at all. Nothing was ready, except Krishna's mercy was there, therefore everything was perfect. So Arjuna remembers this as he remembers Krishna. And he says, it was he who ate remnants of our food, and by doing that, he saved us. Not that we save ourselves, he saved us. By his merciful strength, by his grace, by saving us, by being near us. That is how he saved us. And then he says in the next verse, it was by his influence only that in my fight with Lord Shiva, there was one time when Arjuna wanted to pray hard to obtain weapons from Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva wanted to test his prowess and they fought. But Krishna's blessings were there that Arjuna fought so well that Lord Shiva became so pleased with him that he said, let me give you my great, most powerful weapon and you take it back with you. And later Arjuna used it in his victories in Mahabharata war. Arjuna said, not because of my power, it was by his influence. See how Krishna's mercy comes. It comes by him being near us. It comes by his merciful strength. It comes by his influence. It comes by his grace. It comes from him taking remnants to save us. See in how many ways Krishna's mercy is being given to us. And then in the next verse, this is very beautiful, because then Arjuna says, Yudhishthira, the military strength of the Kauravas was like an ocean which was insurmountable. So vast was the army, nobody could escape the Kauravas. But because of his friendship, now it's his friendship, not just his influence, not just being near me, but now because of his friendship, I, seated on the chariot, was able to cross over this insurmountable ocean. What did Arjuna do? He said, basically all I did was I just sat on my chariot. That's all I did. I just sat. But because of his friendship with me, I won the war. Can you imagine it? How did you win the war, Arjuna? Well, you know what? Because I was seated on the chariot and Krishna was my friend. Anybody else will laugh at us. How did you win a war, Prabhu? I won because Krishna was seated on my chariot as my charioteer, and because of his friendship I won the war. In material world, that is unspeakable. No one will believe you. Only in spiritual world that is possible. And then Arjuna says that only by his grace was I able to regain the cows and also collect many, many, many other helmets of the kings. In other words, only by Krishna's mercy was Yudhishthira Maharaj and the Pandavas able to become the kings and emperors of the whole world. Not by anyone else, not by their prowess. This is their mood. Then Arjuna goes on to say, it was he only who withdrew the duration of life. Look at how Krishna is described. He withdrew the duration of life from everyone on the battlefield. And by withdrawing their strength and their speculative powers of enthusiasm, he defeated them. How Krishna defeated the Pandavas, the Kauravas is given here. He withdrew their enthusiasm. He withdrew their powers. And after doing that, he just destroyed them. And this is what is stated in the later verse of 11:33 of Bhagavad Gita. Because Krishna tells Arjuna there, Nimitra Matra Bhavya Savyasachi, you just become my instrument. Why? Because I am Vaite Nihata Purvam Evam. Because actually, I have destroyed everyone who has to be destroyed in the field. You don't have to do anything, Arjuna. Because you are my devotee, I have taken care of everything for you. Don't worry. This is Krishna's mercy. And then, this is very beautiful. Arjuna then says, do you know Yudhishthira? Great generals, they all directed their invincible weapons against me. Great generals like who? Bhishma, Drona, you name all the great generals, they all directed their weapons against me. But by his grace, back to his grace, but by his grace, they could not even touch a hair on my head. This is the power of Krishna. Not a hair on Arjuna's head was touched, even despite all the weapons coming. In fact, we find in the battle of Mahabharata, Krishna took so many arrows. The arrows that were directed to Arjuna very often hit Krishna. But Krishna was very particular not to make sure, that Arjuna was never harmed. And then Arjuna then remembers. He says it was only by his mercy. It was only by his mercy that my enemies neglected to kill me. This is a very nice way of saying the enemies didn't kill me. They neglected to kill me. They just couldn't kill me. Even if they wanted, they just had to neglect. When I descended from my chariot to get water, my enemies could not touch me even then. Why? Because it was the mercy of the Lord. So when Arjuna took a water break, still he couldn't be touched by the invincible warriors. Why? Because Krishna was near me. Because Krishna was his friend. Because Krishna's influence was there. Because Krishna's grace was there. Because Krishna was merciful. Because Krishna was saving him. All these are all different ways of describing the Lord's mercy. And then finally he said, while I went to get water for my thirsty horses and for myself, and it was due to my lack of self-esteem for my Lord. Very nice point. He's saying that even though the Lord did so much for me, I did nothing for him. I failed to glorify him on the battlefield. My lack of self-esteem for my Lord, that I dared to engage him as my charioteer. Arjuna is thinking, what audacity I had to engage Krishna as my charioteer. And despite that, he still saved me. And he is worshipped by all the three worlds, and here I was telling him, please be my charioteer. And then Arjuna concluded in the last two verses. He said, generally, Yudhishthira, both of us lived together, we ate together, we slept together, we loitered together. At that time, I would normally advertise my acts of chivalry to him. Arjuna is being very humble. He says, you know, at that time, sometimes I would boast to him about a great warrior I was. Sometimes I would speak to him in an irregular fashion. But even in these hours, when I minimized his value, even in the time when I did not see him as Krishna, but saw him as a dear friend, did not see him as Lord of the three worlds. In other words, I was not right in my attitude. This is humility of the devotee. Even at that point, Krishna used to tolerate me, all my uglies. He excused me exactly as a friend will excuse a friend, and as a father will excuse his father. And then Arjuna concludes, and he concludes very beautifully in 1:15:21, and he says,
tadvai danusa ishvata rato hayase.
Dhanu means bow. Ishvaha means arrows. Rato means chariot. So Arjuna is saying, I have the same Gandhiva bow. The same bow that I had in my walk, I have the same Gandhiva bow. I have the same arrows. I have the same chariots drawn by the same horses.
Soham ratim vipratayo yata anamanti.
I am the same Arjuna. No difference. I am still the same Arjuna to whom all, Nripa means the kings, to whom all the kings around the world offer respects. But despite being the same Arjuna, same chariot, same horses, same bow, same arrow, everything is the same.
Sarvam kramena tadabhut asya isharitam basman hutam kushakarana nivokta asyam.
Despite having all this, Krishna said, Arjuna said, still, in the absence of Lord Krishna, now that Lord Krishna has gone, all of them, them meaning what? My bow, my arrow, my chariot, my horses, my prowess as Arjuna, at a moment's notice, have become null and void. They have become null and void. They are not effective anymore. Not effective anymore. They have no power anymore. And then Arjuna compares his importance of power to three things. He says this is exactly like offering clarified butter, ghee, into ashes. If you pour ghee into ashes, it is of no value. You pour ghee when the fire is burning, not when it has turned to ashes. No value. Whatever he had, which he thought was so powerful during the war, has become of no value because Krishna has left. Its purpose has been served. It is no longer of any value. Vidyaritam yat pratyeta na pratyeta chasmani. Then he says, this is just like accumulating money with a magic wand. You know magic wand? You can't accumulate money with magic wand because it doesn't work. It's a ridiculous proposition. And then the last point he says, and it is just like sowing seeds on a barren land. A barren land has no value. No matter how many best fertile seeds you have, produce and magazine, you can't sow it in a barren land because it won't grow. It's not the fault of the seeds. It's just that the land is barren. So we can't do anything about it. So Arjuna then concluded that frankly speaking, everything, whoever I am today, whatever I have been, is all by the mercy of the Lord. It is not by me at all. And Prabhupada writes in that purport very nicely one statement. We should always remember this point, Prabhupada said, that we are living on borrowed plumes. P-L-U-M-E-S. You know, the plumes and the beautiful feathers of a bird, they look very nice. But what we don't understand is, sometimes we borrow these feathers, we pluck them on top and we say that these are my achievements. I have done this, I am singing nicely, I am giving nice class, everything. But we don't realize that behind all this is the hand of Krishna. When we miss this point, then what happens to us is important for us to know. And this concludes the verse in 1.5.14 of Srimad Bhagavatam. This point we should remember. Vyasa Bhagavan was feeling dissatisfied in his heart because he had written the Vedas, he had written the Mahabharata, Ramayana, everything he had done. But he was still dissatisfied in his heart. When Narada Muni came, Narada Muni immediately told him the reason of your dissatisfaction. The reason why you are not at peace, why you are not blissful, is because you have not glorified the Lord. You have specifically not glorified the Lord through His transcendental pastimes. And then, Narada Muni said, you are feeling agitated because you have not glorified Krishna. Because you have not glorified Him, i.e., when we don't glorify Krishna, Prabhu and Madhis, who will be glorified? You just ask yourself logically. You glorify yourself. Isn't it natural tendency? If you don't glorify anyone else, who are you going to glorify? Eventually the radar will come back to you. Isn't it? Because the natural tendency of us in this material world, not in our constitutional position, is self-praise. We all like to take credit for everything that we are doing. But by doing that, we don't attract the mercy of the Lord. Because we don't possess genuine humility. humility of Krishna, of Arjuna, was what allowed him to see the cosmic manifestation of the Lord. This point we should remember. That is why Arjuna is stated in this verse as Guru Pesha. What is the meaning of Guru Pesha? One who has conquered sleep. Arjuna in Mahabharata hardly slept. Not because he was worried, but because he was always alert in the discharge of his devotional service. That is why sleep was immaterial to him. So, there is a reason why he is known as Buddha Kesha in this verse. Because it tells us that Arjuna conquered sleep, and therefore he was always alert in the discharge of his devotional service. Sleep in Bhagavatam is considered to be the mode of ignorance. The less sleep we have, the more alert we are to use that time for Krishna. Arjuna wasted no time in glorifying Krishna. In the whole 15th chapter of the first canto, he just glorified. Just hear the verses just now. Every credit that was due to him, he genuinely offered it at the lotus feet of the Lord. If we can learn to do this in our devotional life, then we may develop, by Krishna's mercy and Guru's mercy, the quality of humility. And once humility is there, Prabhu and Mataji, in that humble state of mind, devoid of sense of false prestige, not wanting any gain for ourselves, and always offering respects to all others, Kirtaniya Sada Hari, we can then chant the names of the Lord continuously. There is a strong connection between behavior and philosophy in Bhagavatam. Whatever that we philosophize should not remain as philosophy. It must be translated into behavior. If it is not, then we are losing. If it is, then we are gaining the mercy of the Lord. Then the Lord will take care of us through the agency of the devotees, through the agency of bhakti. But our aim is not to become agitated in thinking that we are the doers of our wonderful actions. When bad things happen, we blame Krishna. When good things happen, we are ready always to take the credit for ourselves. Isn't it true? It always happens. Isn't it? One time, you know, there was this brahmana who took care of his garden very nicely. His garden was very nice. One time, anyone who come there, he would tell them, look at this garden, I did this. One day, one cow came into the garden, and when the cow came in, the cow started chewing on all the nice garden paraphernalia, the plants, the fruits and all. So what happened then? Brahmana became so angry that he whipped the cow until it died. Now, Brahmana killing cow, terrible sin. Killing cow itself is bad. Brahmana killing cow, unheard of. When the village came to know, they came to the Brahmana and they wanted justice. They said he should be punished. The Brahmana thought and thought and thought. And the next day, Brahmana said, I should not be punished because I did not kill the cow. He asked, how can it be that you did not kill the cow? He said, no, it was my hands that killed the cow. They all said, your hands belong to you. Yes, the hands belong to me, but by shastras, every part of the body is being ruled by one different demigod. One deva is taking care of each part of your body. And the hands are actually taken care of by who? Indra deva. So if you want anyone to be punished, please go to Swarga Loka, right? Serve on him this petition and then you come to God. He is the one who should be punished now. The word spread through all three worlds until Indra deva started thinking, what is this? I'm being accused on earth of killing a cow which I've never seen in my life. So Indra deva took this guy and he came as a small young brahmana. He walked into the garden, old Brahmana came, he said, see how beautiful everything is. So Brahmana said, I was just looking at this, you know. Elderly sir, is it you who grew this plant? Yes. You grew that? Yes. You grew that? Yes. It's my hands. Everything was done with my hands. And at that point Indra Dev decided, enough is enough. He changed back to Indra and he said, Brahmana, everything good is because of your hands. Anything bad is because of my hands. So this point is very important for us to remember. We take credit for everything. Borrowed plumes. This is what Prabhupada warns us in 15th chapter of 1st canto. And this is why Arjuna had qualification. because he sincerely, genuinely saw the hand of Krishna in adversities and in good times. And because of that, Lord bestowed full mercy on him. We don't have to worry about anything. We just do one thing. Tato anyata kinchana yati vekshataha. This is important. Anyata means don't do any other thing. Krita krishashtat krita rupanamabhi. Then, na bhajje kvapicha dushita matihi. Laveta vata hatanau ivaspadam. One time for him. Anything that you desire to describe, anything that you desire to have in your vision, which is separate from the Lord's vision, will somehow or another react with different names, forms and activities to agitate your mind. Just like a boat which is not anchored to a firm foundation will always be agitated by the waves in the ocean. So the next time we become agitated, remember 1.5.14. Remember Arjuna's genuine prayers to Krishna. And remember that the agitation is coming because there is some activity we are doing which has no presence of Krishna in it. Or it is an activity that we are not properly glorifying Krishna. That will always be the source of your agitation. Go home. Experiment. You will find that this Bhagavatam verse is as true 5,000 years ago, millions of years ago, as it is today. This is Bhagavatam. And what should we do then? What should we do? We are coming to temples, right? In conclusion, we should do one thing, Prabhu Sri Mataji. Reflect on this when you go back. See 6th canto, 1st chapter, 15th verse. There Shukadeva Goswami tells us how to perform the service. Kechit, kevalaya, bhakti, bhakya. He says that bhakti that you perform, if you perform it well, unalloyed, anyataha, without anything but with putting Krishna, kechit kevala bhakya, vasudeva parayana. This is very important, vasudeva parayana. That means you must perform that worship to Krishna, vasudeva, not for yourself. When you do that worship, then two things will happen. Agam dunvanti katsyena. Katsyena means whatever that is there, whatever sins, whatever path that you have, they will be uprooted and destroyed. The problem with doing any other kind of thing, supposing you have a problem, what do? You go to astrologer, you go to numerologist, you go to this place, that place, you go to this doctor, you go to that doctor, you go everywhere just to find some solution. But what you do not do is, this is Krishna's end. I should tolerate it, increase the fabric of my devotional service and endure it. Disease and difficult son-in-laws can be gotten rid of in one way, Prabhupada said. Huh? Just don't entertain them. If you don't entertain son-in-laws who want to sit down whole night in father-in-law's house, you don't give them prasadam, don't entertain them, ignore them for a while, sooner or later son-in-law will say, what am I getting from father-in-law, better go back home. Disease is the same thing. Problems of life is the same thing also. The more you entertain them in your heart and your mind, oh, this is a big problem, oh, that's a big problem, that's a big problem, that's a big problem, you are entertaining them. The moment you entertain them, you won't tolerate them. Then they will stay with you because they like to be entertained. Isn't it? Anywhere where I'm being entertained, I want to stay. But if I'm not entertained, I won't stay. This is the point that we should understand. Vasudeva Parayanaha. Then these things are uprooted from the bottom. Not just from the top, from the tree bottom, from the roots, uprooted. Like Nihalan, Iva Bhaskarabha, the sun is so powerful that the sun's rays, Prabhu Sri Mataji, can suck up any dirt on the ground, even though the sun is so far away. That is the power of bhakti. But how must it be done? This is how it must be done, Bhagavatam tells us. Parayanaha. Parayanaha, everywhere else, Prabhupada has described it as Parayanaha means shelter. That is normally shelter. But in 6.15, Prabhupada describes Parayanaha as service. He says service, completely attached. That means we must become Vasudev Parayanaha. We must be completely attached to such service without dependence on austerity, penance, cultivation of knowledge or pious activities. Think about it. The service that will really gain the mercy of Krishna is that which is done without dependence on austerity, cultivation of knowledge, pious activities. Meaning, an example is, if I do a service in the temple, I want people to know I'm doing service. I want to gain knowledge. If I do an austerity, I want people to know that I have some austerity. After a while, I start thinking whether the austerity is more important or the service is more important. You follow Prabhu's philosophy? Sometimes, in our going towards the goal of pleasing Krishna, we get sidelined. We may become austere for the sake of being austere. We may be chopping up pious activity, oh, this is good piety, every Saturday better come. So it's all chopped up. Not because we want to serve. We will be coming because, oh, so many verses are there, I can become Pandit now. Then let me come and do service. Or penance. Giving a vegetable soup for 60,000 years on one leg. But he had no service in him for Krishna. No service. That's the closest I can come to thinking about this point of service and without being dependent on ourselves. So we should come not for anything except to serve devotees, Lord Krishna. If we can do this collectively as a congregation, Krishna will bestow on all of us his causeless mercy. And he will help us to understand him through the agency of Guru, through the agency of Sadhu, and through the agency of Sanchas. This is how we should attract the mercy of Guru. Jai Srivad Bhagavatam Ki. Jai Srivad Bhagavatam Ki. Any questions, comments, Prabhu and Mataji? Yes, Prabhu. Sorry, just 1 minute, Prabhuji. Do we have the second mic? Yes, yes, Prabhuji. I'm sorry, can you maybe a little bit louder? I'm really sorry. All my? Very nice point, Rudy. That's a very, very practical point. What happens in this situation? Correct me if I'm not saying it right, because I'm hearing it, but I'm not so good with hearing. In a situation where if everything, every success I attribute to the Lord, and failures are also there, and I attribute it to the Lord, then constructively, what is my position? Is that what you're trying to come to? Very good point. What do we do then? What is our role then in our activities? Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita tells us that in whatever activities we do it with the aim of trying our best to succeed for the pleasure of the Lord. Of course, when the Lord is pleased with whom, we become satisfied. And it is natural that if you do an activity very nicely, you will gain self-satisfaction in your heart. That self-satisfaction is Krishna's mercy on you. But if you tried your very best and there was no nice result the way you wanted it to be, we should not be morose. We should accept it that maybe I was not up to the mark. Maybe I should try harder. Maybe something I missed. But the real reason is Krishna doesn't want. So touch your heart and be truthful and honest. If you know you never worked hard for something and you still want it, then that battle is between you and you. It has nothing to do with Krishna. But if you tried your very best sincerely and still it doesn't turn out, then please know that it is the hand of the Lord. Lord doesn't want something at some point. That will give you peace and that will also make you accept your subordinate position to Krishna. But as devotees, Prabhupada says in many purports, we should never, never feel morose. If you have time, Prabhuji, and if Prabhu's Matajis have time, please read the purport of 3rd Canto, 16th chapter, last verse. 16th chapter, last verse. Very important. Jai and Vijay had just been cursed by Krishna, and they were coming down to the world to be born as two of the greatest demons known to men, the original terrorists of the universe, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And as they were calling, the demigods were thinking, my God, this is a terrible position. Now we are going to be harassed by these demons. As they began to think that way, they began to concoct. They began to deliberate. Oh, we are worried, we are worried, we are worried, we are worried. And Brahmaji, at the end, in that verse, he then told them that Krishna alone will come to our rescue. Because he has created this situation. So he will amend the situation himself. Then he ends by saying this, what purpose can we serve on his behalf by deliberating on this subject? Beautiful life. What purpose can we serve on his behalf by deliberating on this subject? How do we serve Krishna? By deliberating on something which is his will. We should actually keep offering prayers and remembering that the Lord will guide us in his good will. Is that okay, Prabhuji? Thank you, Prabhuji. Nice question. Thank you. Anything else, Prabhuji Mataji? Yes, Prabhuji.
Then what am I? I'm going to repeat the question. Somebody has to say it.
Prabhuji, just two questions.
Yes, Prabhuji.
One is, while doing routine activities during the daytime, doing office and all.
Yes.
How the remembrance can be maintained?
How the
remembrance can be maintained?
By doing daily activities, why am I using? You use the mic today, sorry. You all heard, isn't it? Can I request Pastor Prabhu to answer this? Because Prabhu has worked many years, much longer than I have. And he's worked in a profession which is grinding, if you ask me. Literally grinding, you know. He's a doctor, he's a dentist. It can be an incredibly routine. I always wanted to ask you this question. How do you do this day in, day out? It must be, at least I see everyone's different faces. You are seeing mouths. It must be very difficult. How do you maintain nice remembrance of the Lord when you see somebody's mouth? Please help us here, Prabhuji. Slowly, slowly, slowly.
One answer is the universal form. Actually, point of view, it is very, very difficult. But for me personally, I think before I start work, I remember Krishna. I pray, I offer prayers to Krishna. Then I start my work. While I'm doing work also, I remember Krishna's last time. I try to, you know, when I'm doing work, I try and remember it's different past times. So whatever past time comes to my day, I will just meditate on the past time as I do my work.
So Prabhu, is it possible while you are doing externally something, internally you are still remembering?
That's right.
Yeah.
Externally you are doing something because you are doing work for Krishna. Right? Okay, you're doing this work. Now, like Prabhu points to well taken. Yes, I'm a dentist, yeah, I'm doing, some people can say I'm very good and all that. But actually I'm not good. Krishna is good. He is doing to me all his work.
Prabhuji, the thought remains only one at a time, I can say for myself. So how you do externally something, internally still remembering.
That's why you have to meditate. It's not easy to take practice. Initially, we will always be thinking of our own things and all that. But as you chant, as you read, Krishna's mercy again. It's because of Krishna's mercy that we are able to do one thing outside and meditate on him inside. Otherwise, it's not possible. It's only by his mercy. Like, all his points thought of very, very nice and sweet because it's practical. It is not impractical. People say, oh, it's not possible. But actually, it is possible. You can do two things, or three things, or four things at the same time. It's possible. Even in material world, there sometimes I see my nurses, they will be making appointment, but at the same time they will be answering the phone and writing something. This is material, you know? But if material can do that, why you can't do it?
Spiritual also.
It is possible, you can do it.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Are we alright, Prabhu? Any other points? Yes, Prabhu. Yes.
Parsati Prabhu, it was before you start your work, you remember Krishna. I mean, you can keep a picture of Krishna on your desk, you will always see. The main thing is the mood in which you are working all the time. So you always remember that you are serving Krishna. So because of that mood, all the time,
Yeah.